goes on to declare the gospel that he preached was that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. In Isaiah 53, 9, concerning his burial, it declares he made his grave with the rich. When David wrote of him prophetically, he declared, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave, neither will you allow the Holy One to see corruption." When Jesus was asked for a sign to prove that he was the Son of God, he told the Pharisees, "A wicked and an adulterous generation is looking for signs. But there's only one sign that will be given to it. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." What Jesus was declaring to them, that the ultimate sign that he is indeed the Son of God would be his resurrection from the grave, from the dead. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 13, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem with his disciples, he told them that he would be betrayed to the chief priest. They would condemn him to death, and they would deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. But he said, "The third day I will rise again." When he was in Caesarea Philippi with his disciples, and there they acknowledged that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus then began to tell them that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and that he would be killed, but the third day he would rise again. Now in Luke's gospel, as we read this morning, after his resurrection, which the disciples were very slow to believe, but when he appeared unto them, they first of all thought that they were seeing a ghost. They were frightened. But then he sought to assure them that it was just him, not a ghost. He said, "Do you have anything to eat here?" And they gave him some broiled fish and some honey, and he ate it. He said, "Look, ghosts can't eat food." And so he ate it to prove that he was indeed alive from the dead. And then he said unto them, "Now these are the words that I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all of the things might be fulfilled." All of what things? All of the Old Testament prophecies. "All of the things might be fulfilled," he said, "which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." All of these things, they were written in the Torah, the books of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Now, we read also of the disciples on the road to Emmaus who were walking along sad and dejected when Jesus caught up with them. And he said, "What's wrong with you guys? Why do you look so sad?" And they told the story of Jesus, the good things that he had done, but how he was crucified. They had hoped that he would have been the salvation of Israel, but it's now the third day, and some women went to the tomb and they gave some crazy story of angels. but they didn't see him. And Jesus said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And so again, he with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, beginning at Moses, and through all of the prophets, he expounded unto them all of the scriptures concerning himself. So to the two on the road to Emmaus, and then to the 11, he turned to the scriptures and he gave them understanding. And he took them through the whole Old Testament, pointing out how that he was there prophetically in these Old Testament passages of scripture. I wonder if in the book of Genesis he showed them that he was the one that the Father was speaking to when he said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." I wonder if he pointed out to them that he was the seed of the woman that bruised the serpent's head. I wonder if he showed to them that he was the fulfillment of Abraham's prophecy there on Mount Moriah, when Isaac said, "Dad, we have the fire, we have the wood, but we don't have any sacrifice." And Abraham prophesied, "Son, God will provide himself a sacrifice," and then declared, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." I wonder if in the book of Exodus he pointed out that that Passover lamb that was slain, the blood put upon the doorpost. Notice he said it was on the lintels and on the doorpost. Can't you see it's in the shape of a cross? It was bespeaking the fact that I, the Lamb of God, would die for the sins of the world upon the cross. I wonder if he didn't open up to them the understanding of the sin offering in the Levitical sacrifices. How that the guilt was placed over upon the animal, and then the animal was slain and the blood sprinkled upon the altars, and how that all prefigured his sacrifice once and for all for man's sin. I wonder if in the book of Numbers he didn't point out that he was the rock that was smitten, from which the water of life flowed freely unto the people that they might live and not die. I wonder if in Deuteronomy he didn't point out that he was that prophet of which Moses spake that should come, to which the people should give heed. I wonder if he didn't show them in Joshua that he was the captain of the Lord's host that came to meet Joshua and was to lead them in the conquest of the land. I wonder if he didn't point out that he was the angel of the Lord that spoke to Gideon and gave to him the challenge to deliver God's people from their enemies. And in the book of Ruth, even as Boaz sold everything in order, even as Boaz actually purchased the field that he might have the bride, that he also purchased the world that he might take the bride which he loved. I wonder if he didn't show them in Psalm 2 that when the Father promised the Son to give him the heathen for his inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession, that he indeed was the Son of God promised the whole earth. In Psalm 22, where the psalmist speaks of death on the cross. Beginning with the cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I wonder if he didn't go through the 22nd Psalm and point out all of the things that transpired the day he was crucified, parting his garments among them, casting lots for his vesture, and if he didn't show them that actually it was all speaking of him, that he was the wisdom that was extolled in the book of Proverbs by Solomon, and that in the Song of Solomon, he was the altogether lovely one that was extolled by the bride. That in the book of Isaiah, he was the child that was born, the Son of God that was given, and the government was to be upon his shoulders, and his name was to be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Also in Isaiah 52, he was the one whose face was so marred that it couldn't be recognized as a human being. In Isaiah 53, he was the one that was cut off out of the land of the living. His soul was made an offering for sin, and by his stripes we were healed, and by the knowledge of him will people be justified, for he bore their sins. I wonder if in Jeremiah he didn't point out that he was the righteous branch that was raised unto David, the king that should reign and prosper and rule over the earth. He was Ezekiel's plant of renown and the shade and the fragrance that was to come from him. In Daniel, he was the stone that was not cut with hands, that would smite and destroy the governments of man and would establish God's kingdom, his everlasting kingdom upon the earth. He was the promised Messiah, and he came 483 years after the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. But even as Daniel prophesied, he was cut off from the land of the living. I wonder if from Hosea he didn't point out that he was the one growing as a lily, casting out his roots as Lebanon. He was the hope of the people of whom Joel spoke. He was the only son who was slain on the feast day that caused the sun to go down at noon in the book of Amos. And he was the true experience of death and resurrection after 3 days, of which Jonah was just a type. That he was the one that Micah declared would be born in Bethlehem, the one who had existed forever. Or he was the one in the mountains publishing peace that Nahum had predicted. Or he was the anointed one of whom Habakkuk sang, who was going forth for salvation. Or as Zechariah said, he was the one who was sold for 30 pieces of silver, and yet he was the king, and he came to Jerusalem lowly, having salvation, but riding on a donkey. Or, as Malachi declared of him, he was the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. Going through, he opened to them the scriptures. Going through, he pointed out all of the things that were spoken of him, and he gave them understanding. The death of Jesus on the cross was not a fluke. It was not man taking control. It was God fulfilling his promise to send his son to die for the sins of man, to be buried, but the third day to rise again as proof of the fact that he was indeed the Son of God and was just fulfilling the scriptures and the promises of God. Paul said, "The good news that I preach unto you, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures." It was all a plot. It was all designed by God. A means whereby God might show to rebellious, sinning man that he loved them and was willing to forgive their sin, willing to receive them back into fellowship with himself, willing to give to them the gift of eternal life. And God's seal upon the whole story would be his resurrection from the dead. It all hinges on that. If Christ be not risen from the dead, then we're still in our sins. And those who have died in faith in Christ have perished. And we of all people are most miserable. But thanks be unto God, he has risen and is alive today and forevermore. And because he lives, you who believe and trust in him shall live also. That's his word. And he has kept his word all the way through. Not one good portion of scripture has failed. You can put your trust in it. You can bank on it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the gospel that we preach. The gospel we have received. The gospel where we stand. The gospel by which we have been saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord, thank you for the good news. And let us, Lord, receive it. Stand on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Now the disciples, having received the gospel, were commissioned by Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Having heard the good news and received the good news and being saved, it is then incumbent upon us, it's our responsibility to share the good news with others. We have a story to tell to the nation. Jesus died for our sins, but he lives forevermore. May the Lord be with you and bless you as you go forth to bear the good news to the world. Tomb was empty. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. up from the grave, he arose.